Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
This is a case by popular demand. It's been sent to me by everybody. But it's for good reason. I did a story a while back about a cheerleader who posted a Snapchat picture and made a comment about her school and her feelings about something that happened to her recently. And other people saw the Snapchat photograph and were perturbed by it. And the school stepped in and punished her for the Snapchat photograph that she had posted. And that case made it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And SCOTUS just ruled on it. So I ran a search, and you can do this too. Just type in cheerleader Supreme Court, and you will get a whole raft of articles about this, including the opinion itself, which I think is 42 pages long. I was going to originally just read some of that. I realized summarizing that, even if I put a lot of work into really summarizing it, it'd probably still be too long to make a video out of. So I'm going to go with the version by Reuters, which is a news service. Andrew Chung wrote it. Headline, cheerleader prevails at U.S. Supreme Court in free speech case. Cheerleader prevails. She won 8-1. Yes, someone dissented. The U.S. Supreme Court Wednesday ruled in favor of a Pennsylvania teenager who sued after her profanity-laced social media post got her banished from her cheerleading squad at high school in a closely watched free speech case. But the Supreme Court declined to outright bar public schools from regulating off-campus speech, because that's what really was the big issue here. It's not something she said at school. It's something she said about school while she was not at school. And so children have got lives outside of school, right? And so the question is, how much of their life is regulated by the school legally? The justice has ruled 8-1 that the punishment that the school district officials gave the plaintiff for her social media post violated her free speech rights under the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. Now, that was a social media post that she made on Snapchat. The plaintiff's name is Brandy Levy. Now, in all of the pleadings and the paperwork, she's described as BL, the initials BL, because when she did this, she was a minor. But now it's come out and she's openly speaking about this. I don't think it's a problem saying her name. And trust me, I mean, it's, you know, she's going to forever be known as the Snapchat Supreme Court cheerleader case. So that's hers. And I suspect she's going to own that, as they say. Stephen Breyer wrote the opinion. And again, like I said, it's 8-1. And the case involved the free speech rights of America's roughly 50 million public school students in this modern internet and social media era. Many schools and educators have argued that their ability to curb bullying, threats, cheating, and harassment should not be limited to school grounds because much of this happens online. And so the Supreme Court, when they're asked a question such as this, should this young lady have been suspended for something she posted when she was not at school? They can answer the very narrow question, say, with respect to her, yes or no. The question is, will they create a broad rule, a broad framework that future courts can follow? And the Supreme Court often doesn't do that. And people say, why not? Well, it's because sometimes these things are driven by the facts. And so what happens next time when someone makes a Snapchat post while they're on school grounds, but not during school hours, or during school hours, but not on school grounds? Or, you know, and so there's all these different variations. And so to try to anticipate each and every one of them would probably be futile, as I like to say, overpronouncing the second syllable. But that's just the Supreme Court for you. So the justices preserved the authority of public schools to sometimes regulate speech that occurs away from campus, but they declined to endorse a lower court decision that found that the First Amendment guarantee of free speech prohibited punishing students for what they say off campus. So they left that door open. The school's regulatory interests remain significant in some off-campus circumstances, the majority opinion says. Breyer, writing that, cited some specific behavior that may require schools to act, including things such as bullying or harassment, threats aimed at teachers or other students, and rule breaking. So as you can imagine, if some student is sitting at home, not on school grounds, not during school hours, and is threatening teachers outright, just saying, you know, threatening the teachers or threatening other students, you can't say, well, it's free speech. He's at home. Not during school hours. Nothing we can do about that. That might be something they should take a look at. So that's what they're getting at with this. When it comes to political or religious speech that occurs outside school or a school program or activity, the school will have a heavy burden to justify intervention. So there's obviously also those things that are more protected. The ruling left the door open to future cases to better define the scope of that power. Now, in his dissent, Justice Clarence Thomas said that schools historically could discipline students in circumstances like those presented here, and that lower courts will be at a loss in trying to apply the ruling. I'll tell you right now, when I saw this was 8-1, my first question was, who was the one? And I saw it's Clarence Thomas. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I never would have expected that. Never would have expected that. So I went and read his opinion, and I actually found it rather confounding, because he basically says that although the First Amendment says what it does, historically, schools have been allowed to punish students for what they do off campus. So historically. And I was a little surprised that Clarence Thomas was taking the position that we go off what history says as opposed to what the Constitution says, but not going to go there right now. The big quote here in all caps is, I was frustrated. I was frustrated. That would be Levy speaking. She praised the Supreme Court for agreeing that her school went too far when they suspended her, because what had happened was she had tried out for the varsity squad and they had said, no, you're not varsity material. And then she had posted her Snapchat photograph in response to that. She says, I was frustrated. I was 14 years old and I expressed my frustration the way teenagers do today. Young people need to have the ability to express themselves without worrying about being punished when they get to school, added Levy, who along with her parents was represented in the case by the American Civil Liberties Union. I'm going to raise one question right now. I'm going to raise the question. I'm simply going to move on, because I don't want to sound like the guy who's always saying things were different when I was growing up. I'm not going to say they always were. But when I was growing up and somebody had expressed themselves this way, not on Snapchat, but just publicly, I suspect the parents would have stepped in. Not the school, but the parents. But these are different times in which we live. The school district also welcomed the ruling, calling it an important vindication of schools' authority to protect students and staff and to fulfill schools' education missions. So this is a great example of a school saying, hey, look, we lost, but we embrace it, which is not a bad way to go. Levy's now an 18-year-old college student. She's studying accounting. She was a member of the high school's junior varsity cheerleading squad and tried out near the end of her freshman year for the varsity team. She made her Snapchat post in response to that in May of 2017, 2 days after she didn't succeed at the tryout. On a Saturday at a Cocoa Hut convenience store in Pennsylvania's coal region, she posted a photo of her and a friend raising their middle fingers, adding a caption using the same F word four times to voice her displeasure with cheerleading, softball, school, and everything. Life, the universe, and everything. Cheerleading, softball, school, and everything. Levy's photo was visible for 24 hours on Snapchat, along with another post questioning a younger girl's selection to the varsity squad. Now, that, believe it or not, I think is something that you'd raise the eyebrow at, see? Because it's one thing for her to criticize the school or the cheerleading administration or coach or whatever that is, but to actually criticize another student and go, how come she got on and I didn't get on? Now you're singling out a fellow student. And I think there might be an issue there, but I'm not saying it's not constitutionally protected. I'm just saying of the things that she did, that would actually caught my attention. Some cheerleaders and students chafed at the posts and the controversy disrupted classes, according to court papers. As punishment, the high school coaches kicked her off the cheerleading squad for a year. So that's the issue here, is that she made the post and they kicked her off the squad. So the case focused upon a 1969 Supreme Court precedent known as Tinker versus Des Moines Independent Community School District that let public schools punish student speech when it would substantially disrupt a school community. At issue was whether that authority extended beyond what they call the schoolhouse gates. So is the community always going to be on the grounds during school hours? Or if you do something off grounds after hours, but it causes a disruption on school grounds during hours, is that a problem? Because we all remember those kinds of stories where something happened yesterday We're not quite sure where, but some students did something. And everyone's talking about it at school the next day. Okay? That's causing a disruption at school. And that's what the school district was saying here. They're saying, look, we don't mind that she made the statement, but the statement caused a brouhaha at school. Brouhaha being my term, but I think it fits. So Levy and her parents sued the district seeking reinstatement as a cheerleader and a judgment that her First Amendment rights had been violated. A federal judge ordered Levy's reinstatement, finding that her actions had not been disruptive enough to warrant the punishment. After the school district appealed, the Philadelphia-based Third Circuit of Court of Appeals decided that the 1969 precedent did not apply to off-campus speech and that school officials may not regulate such speech at all. And of course, that's the other problem. Is what happens if there's a student who, you know, school lets out at 3 o'clock and at 3:01 steps off of school property and threatens teachers, threatens the principal? Well, he's off school grounds. It's after hours. Can't do anything about it. So obviously that's a problem also. This case involved the power of public schools as governmental institutions in regulating speech, but not private schools. And that's something I get asked quite a bit, because the Constitution and the Bill of Rights address what happens with the government. And I hate to even bring this up, but I've done some videos about what happens when someone at Sam's Club or Walmart asks to see your receipt as you walk out the door. And I have people every single day to this day on videos I posted 2 years ago saying, Steve, it violates my constitutional rights. No, it doesn't. Constitutional rights don't address what happens when someone at a private entity like Sam's Club asks to see your receipt. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights address government actors, the government. Okay? So if you're walking out of a private place and a private person asks, it's not a violation of your constitutional rights. It's not, okay? So if you're at a public school, and a public school is paid for by tax dollars, and the people who work there, their salaries are paid by tax dollars, it's a government entity. Public schools are a government entity. So things that happen at public schools could run afoul of the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. They're certainly regulated by them, okay? But private schools would not be, okay? And so I've had people who say, well, it has a problem at school, and the teachers do this, the administration does this. Does that violate the Constitution? The first question you ask is it a public school? And I've had people say, why? Who cares? Well, the Constitution does. The Constitution addresses what happens to you with a public school. This does not address private schools. So if you are at a private school and something like this happens, okay, then they're going to possibly be able to do whatever they want with respect to these speech issues. And when you get upset by it, someone's going to say, gee, your remedy is leave the school and go back to public schools, because there you'll have the protections you need if that's what you're looking for. But this does not regulate private schools. This is a public school issue. So it's an interesting case. I think most people thought it was going to go this way. I thought it was going to be a 9-0, but 8-1. And like I said, I never would have expected Clarence Thomas to be the one who was dissenting. But again, Clarence Thomas is an interesting jurist. And I read his opinion. And I found parts of it surprising as well. But like I said, they came down in her favor. Brandy Levy, they came down in her favor. She was perfectly fine to say what she did, when she said it, where she said it. But the Supreme Court did not come out and lay out the exact framework for what we can know going forward. Generally speaking, expressing opinions off campus after hours, you're fine all day long. You might run afoul of problems if you do it on campus, or they're not opinions, but they're threats or bullying, different things of that nature. But the very, very narrow issue here is she wins 8-1. And so the cheerleader prevails at the U.S. Supreme Court in a free speech case. Andrew Chung wrote it for Reuters, and it was sent to me by James, Dwayne, Phil, Paul, Richard, and Richard, Keith, Steve, and Steve, Buckskin Bill, David, Billy, Ralph, Ken, and George all sent it. Thanks a lot, everybody. Questions or comments, put them below. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. What did Snow White say when she came out of the photo booth? Someday my prince will come.